got time and you want to try doing something like getting on your knees and getting your hands dirty, planting and weeding is a great option. And then lastly, we used to have some raised vegetable beds, but we won't be able to do them this year. We just don't have the people power, as it were, to keep them up. But we are still planting and weeding and doing everything else around the church. Let's all stand this morning. I mentioned before, we're here to connect with God together, right? And so let's just pray. You got, you're booked, right? You're not leaving. What time is it? 11:04? You're here till noon, 12:15. So let's just pray that we connect with God. Let's pray that our hearts are right, that we hear his voice through all the clouds of distraction that might be in our lives. Let's pray that the things of this week and maybe this afternoon and the plans for tomorrow and the stresses you got to come back to next week. Let's just, you can do it. I know you can. You can do it when you go watch a Netflix show. You can do it here. Let's just ignore them for an hour. Let's just pray that God speaks into our heart. Thank you, God, for your love and your grace. Thank you for being in this place, for speaking to us this morning, God. God, I pray, Lord, that this would be the right place, the right atmosphere to hear your word. Lord, let your spirit do its awesome work and speak into our hearts and minds, God. Let us hear something from you today. God, we just leave our distractions at the door, and we're here to focus on you in worship. We're here to focus on you in listening. We pray that you would anoint the music, that you would anoint the singers, that you would anoint Pastor Seidel as he brings your word, and you would anoint our hearts to hear and understand what you have for our specific situation. And God, in everything, we give you the glory this morning. Let there be less of us and more of you in this service. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones, you're the one that I desire. You're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire, Lord. Shut up in my bones, you're the one that I desire. You're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire, Lord. Shut up in my bones, you're the one. The one that I desire, you're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones, you're the one that I desire, you're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones, you're the one that I desire. You're shut up in my bones, you're the one that I desire. You're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, I'm fine. Shut up in my bones, you're the one that I desire. You're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones, you're the one. Shut up in my bones, you're the one.
Praise God. Let's lift our hands again. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you're new to this experience, if you're not used to this, this is the Holy Ghost that we're feeling, the Holy Spirit that the Bible talks about. Praise God. The presence of God is here this morning. Amen. I'm going to read from the Word of the Lord. Anyone want to guess what passage of Scripture I'm going to read? Acts chapter 2, not 38, verses 1 through 4. I want to talk about the time has come. Amen. Remember, Pastor and Sister Lois and those that are at camp working, keep them in prayer. Acts 2, chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. How many Pentecostals here this morning? Amen. How many apostolic Pentecostals here this morning? Yeah. Pentecost Sunday, it's a special day, a day of remembrance for us, a day to remember what God did on the birthday of the church. Amen. Word Pentecost means 50th, and it occurred on the 50th day, calculated from the second day of unleavened bread. In the Old Testament, it is called the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Harvest. Its primary objective was to thank God for the blessings of harvest. Amen. Anyone, has God done good for anyone here today? Amen. Let's thank the Lord for the great things he has done. Praise God. It's the birthday of the church. We just read about it on the day of Pentecost. God had a plan when it was fully come. His timing is always perfect. And on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. And we all are familiar with Acts 2:38, which comes later after the Bible says that Peter stood up with the 11 and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when they heard it, they were moved, they were stirred, and they said, "What is it we need to do?" And Peter said, "Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost." Amen. We must never forget this gospel message. We're the apostolics. Amen. Acts 2:38. But tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's an unusual confluence, if I can use that term, of the two events, the two days of memorial on the same weekend. Memorial Day was originally known as Decoration Day, a federal holiday in the United States for honoring and mourning the U.S. military personnel who have died in serving the United States Armed Forces. I know we want to honor veterans, and we have a Veterans Day, and we should always honor veterans, but this is specifically in memoriam of those who died in the service of the United States Armed Forces. And it is observed on the last Monday of May from 1868 to 1970. It was always observed on May 30th. Some of us remember that. Don't raise your hand. Official recognition as a holiday spread among the states, beginning with New York in 1873. And of course, just like everything else in our history, there's a debate on who had the first Memorial Day. But once we had the World War, it became a day of remembrance for all members of the U.S. military who fought and died in service. You know, World War I was called the War to End All Wars. Didn't work. 1971, Congress standardized the holiday as Memorial Day and changed its observance to the last Monday in May. So that's the history of maybe a little bit of history for both of these things. And they're both significant. Of course, the day of Pentecost is more significant in the world's history and in the history of God's people. Amen? Just think, if we didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit, what would we do? So by the time the apostles had gathered in the upper room in obedience to Jesus' instructions, by that time in Israel's history, the day of Pentecost had become a day of remembrance as well. But it was a day when they recognized or remembered the giving of the law to Moses on Sinai. It was one of the high holy days that God gave to Israel, that instituted him, and the people of Israel were supposed to gather together in Jerusalem to honor God and give thanks. Now, I'm not sure if they had cookouts or bag toss games, but they did celebrate. The passage we read said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. That's very important. That phrase shows up again and again. There's another phrase that uses a different word that talks about the culmination of all of those times that God had on his time calendar. And that's the day when we'll all go to be with the Lord. Amen. These things are important. The day of Pentecost is important because it's part of God's plan. It's part of God's timing. It's part of God's purpose. God has purpose and timing for every one of us. Pastor Peter read from 1 Peter 5:6, and he said that we should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, for in due season he will exalt us. Same phraseology, that even in our individual lives, God has this timing that he's working on. There's something that he wants to have fully come in each of our lives. Amen. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Suddenly everything was different for these 120 or so people that were gathered together. Even though they were told to wait, even though they were expecting something, even though they knew that something was going to happen, suddenly. Isn't that how God works? They were in agreement, the Bible says. They were praying. They were waiting. But they didn't know what to expect. We want to put God on our schedule, on our time frame, but he's got his own timing. These people gathered together. So much had happened in the last month and a half in their lives. Not to mention the last 3 years when Jesus was walking the earth and ministering. All of the miracles they saw. The growing numbers of followers that Jesus drew wherever he went. Crowds, thousands of people. Then suddenly Jesus was arrested. And in just a day or two, he's crucified. And 3 days later, they hear about this resurrection. So much to take in, so much to comprehend, so much to understand. For 40 days after his resurrection, he came back and taught them and spoke to them. The Bible says upwards of 500 people saw him. And now they're all together praying and fasting and waiting and seeking God. I'm sure some of them were eating. You know how it goes. Bring your granola bar and sneak over in the corner and munch on it. Amazing. Just think about being part of that. Those 120 or so people, he was seen at 500. Sometimes we make a big deal about how the numbers were down to 120. Well, maybe the other several hundred, maybe they had to go to work. Who knows? Maybe that day mother was sick, but suddenly, wait here, Jesus said. Wait here. Wait here. Isn't that hard to do sometimes, to wait on God? Suddenly, something happened. Funny how things happen suddenly when the time is right. When the time is right. We want to have control of that, but we have to wait on God. Their lives would never be the same from this day forward. Thousands that day responded. And we're assuming that they were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. We don't know how many received the Holy Ghost beyond that 120, but it says that they were added to their number. And we're assuming that meant they were baptized in Jesus' name, and it has been explained how historically that was possible. What a great day. And it all happened suddenly. They didn't know this is how it was going to work out, but now here they are. Never the same from this point forward. Do you remember the day when you were baptized in Jesus' name? The day when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? My life has never been the same. Praise God. I came to church. I sat in a home Bible study for months before I came to church. And suddenly, I was in the pew and I felt the power of God wash over me. And suddenly, I went to the altar and prayed and decided to get baptized and waited for 10 days to receive the Holy Ghost. But when it happened, it was suddenly. Hallelujah. When the time is right, our lives are changed forever. Israel was changed forever on the day of Pentecost. The Sanhedrin could not ignore what God was doing with these people. Jerusalem, the city, was changed. It was never the same. And I want to tell you that the world itself was changed forever on the day of Pentecost. I believe that the spiritual environment all around the globe was different from that day forward. Because the Bible said that he poured out his spirit upon all flesh. Suddenly, when the time was right, one source lists 10 events of the 20th and 21st century that changed the world in a significant way. Major events: the start of World War I, June 1914, the Russian Revolution, often called the Bolshevik Revolution, in October 1917, the start of World War II. Now, we say it started in September 1939, but for some people in Eastern Europe, it started before that. Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. Atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima on August 8th, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, August 1945. Then the independence of the nation of India in August 1947. And then along came Mao in 1949, and Mao is China. And in 1963, on that fateful day, John F. Kennedy was assassinated. It affected the whole world. 1989, after President Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall," the wall came down in 1989. And again, the world was shaken on September 11th, 2001. That terrible attack on the towers and the Pentagon. And then, of course, our own little life-changing event, COVID-19. These life-changing moments happen historically and personally, suddenly. We can see them coming sometimes. We recognize that something's not right, or we know the symptoms of something coming about to pass. But it just seems like when these life-changing events happen, it's suddenly. But they never happen without a cause. Gettysburg was an act of faith, a three-day explosion of storm and flame and terror, unplanned and uncontrollable, coming inevitably as the war itself had come, out of the things that hard-pressed men had done in the light of imperfect knowledge, the end result of actions that moved with an inexorable logic toward a fundamental and astounding goal. It would come to symbolize all the war as if the blunders and the heroism, the hopes and the delusions, the combativeness, and the incomprehensible devotion of all Americans had been summed up once and for all in one monstrous act of violence. It was enormously destructive. Its significance was not seen till long after it had ended. And to make it finally and perfectly characteristic, it opened and closed with moments of heartbreaking drama. The battle at Gettysburg turned the tide of the Civil War. It had to happen. The events of the war were leading up to it, but it was unexpected when it came. Suddenly. When 1 Chronicles 12 lists the tribes of Israel and lists David's mighty men, it includes this passage about the sons of Issachar. It says, the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. I want to be like the sons of Issachar. I want to understand the times and know what the church ought to do and know what I ought to do. It doesn't surprise me, though it still amazes me, that the lesson that Pastor Peter taught this morning leads right into the message that I'm preaching here. That God is bringing us to a point where he's calling us into service. To do the thing that we've been prepared to do. Suddenly the church is going to be called to action like never before. The assassination of John F. Kennedy was an unexpected change in world events. By the fall of 1963, John F. Kennedy and his political advisors were preparing for the next presidential campaign. The Bay of Pigs scandal and the Cuban Missile Crisis were behind him. And although he had not formally announced his candidacy, it was clear that President Kennedy was going to run. And he seemed confident about his chances for re-election. At the end of September, the president traveled west, speaking in 9 different states in less than a week. And in November, he was in Texas. And on November 22nd, he was in an open convertible in a motorcade in Dallas, Texas. And he was assassinated as he rode through Dealey Plaza in downtown Dallas. This is one time, like many others, but one time that the events surrounding the moment did not predict what was going to happen. The nation was shocked. The world was shocked. The president of the United States had been assassinated. I remember being in school and being told to go home, and we were all sent home on that day because the president had been killed, and it didn't even register in my little bitty brain. It's a little bigger now, not much, but. And I went home, and The lights were turned off. Nothing on but the TV showing the terrible news. My mother crying in another room. A few days later, again the lights are all turned off. And the funeral for the president, the motorcade carrying his casket on the screen. And it came home to me just how important this event was. To this day, we still question the reason and the actual ability of this assassin to do what he did. How could this happen? The sons of Issachar were outstanding because they understood the times. We don't always understand the times. Not everyone does. And not everything is predictable. Things come along in life that shake us, that take the breath out of us, that crush us emotionally. Life surprises us and overwhelms us sometimes. Tragedy strikes, and it's never fair. Suddenly, we're faced with dire consequences, unfathomable situations, and we realize we have no control over some of the elements in our life. But Isaiah 46:10 says that God declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." None of this is ever a surprise to my God. There was never an election that he was surprised by the way. Never a pandemic that was a shock to him. Never a natural disaster that surprised our God. Some people want to blame him for it, but he knows about it. But it's because of the choices that humanity has made all the way back to Adam that we deal with the difficulties that we deal with. But we have this promise. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." We don't have to face these things alone. In the moment when our world is crushed and things crumble all around us, he never, ever leaves us. After World War II, Germany was separated into two nations. It dawned on me while I was preparing for this that there will be people here, there are people here today who have never known a divided Germany. But when I was growing up, that was a very big thing. The Iron Curtain, it was called, that separated the West from the Communist Russia from the East, including China. We used to, you can't do this anymore, by the way. We used to call it Red China. Just don't tell anyone. Germany was separated into East Germany and West Germany, separated by a wall and by fences and barbed wire and armed guards. Communist Germany and Democratic Germany. For many years it was that way, and you could not pass between the two unless you had certain certification and permissions. But the announcement of the regulations which brought down the wall took place at an hour-long press conference. The announcement was made by accident by Gunter Schabowski. He was the party leader in East Berlin, and he was doing a live broadcast on East German television and radio. He wasn't part of the discussions that were being held concerning the new regulations that were going to go into place. And just before he went into the press conference, he was handed a note announcing the changes, but he wasn't given any other information that these changes were going to be made. And this article gives you minute-by-minute timing. At 1853, near the end of the press conference, Ricardo Ehrman asked if the draft travel law of November 6th was a mistake. Now, this is November 9th, but 3 days earlier, there was a law that was passed that was made certain allowances for travel between the two. Schabowski gave a confusing answer that asserted it was necessary because West Germany had exhausted its capacity to accept fleeing East Germans. Insert political commentary here. Then remembered the note he had been given and added that a new regulation had been drafted to allow permanent emigration at any border crossing. He's read the note, but he didn't have the background. So another reporter, Peter Brinkman, asked, he was sitting in the front row, asked, when would these regulations take effect? When are we going to be able to pass between the two? And this Schabowski, not having all the information he needed, waited for a second or two, and he said, well, as far as I know, it takes effect immediately, without delay. Oops. After hearing the November 9th broadcast, East Germans began gathering at the wall at the six checkpoints between East and West Berlin, demanding that the border guards immediately open the gates. The surprised and overwhelmed soldiers made many hectic telephone calls to their supervisors about the problem. At first, they were ordered to find the more aggressive people gathered at the gates and stamp their passports and let them go through. Mary Elise Surratt, in a 2009 Washington Post story, characterized the series of events leading to the fall of the wall as an accident, saying one of the most momentous events of the past century was, in fact, an accident. A semi-comical and bureaucratic mistake that owes as much to the Western media as to the tides of history. The wall came down between East and West Berlin, and thereby, of course, the separation with the so-called Iron Curtain in East and West Germany. How many remember that day? Amen. The fall of the Berlin Wall set many people free. You can make any kind of political stand you want to make, but the communist regime in East Germany was oppressive, to say the very least. The world community was pushing for this change. For years and years and years, they were working on it, trying to eliminate this division. And there were many international signs that the time was near. The East German government was weakening and crumbling at its very foundation. The Soviet Union under Gorbachev was gradually releasing its hold on its satellites. And finally the day came and the celebration began. But it happened as if it was by its own momentum. There are some things in our lives that we just have to trust that God is going to do a work that we can't do on our own. Praise God. As I said, there's no coincidence that Pastor Peter taught the lesson he taught, and that I'm preaching the message I'm preaching, that someone here today, that God's confirming for you the fact that he is going to bring you the freedom and liberty in your spirit that you've been seeking for. Today's the day of Pentecost of all days. Shouldn't today be the day that you're set free? Jesus said the reason he was on the earth was to seek and save that which was lost. He also said, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. Greater than tearing down the wall that separates nations is the tearing down of the wall of sin that separates us from God. The wall of confusion, the wall of fear, the wall of tradition that keeps you from walking in the will of God. What is it that's separating you from the will of God today? What is it that's preventing me from walking in His will? What is the wall that God wants to tear down? What is the obstacle? Jesus Christ has already paid the price for your liberty. Praise God. Paul said this in Ephesians 2, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, that's talking about Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace. He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. He was making reference to, most people believe, the wall that separated the court that the Gentiles could enter in outside the temple and the court that the Jews could enter in. And Paul was saying that wall doesn't exist anymore. Now we can all enter into the presence of God. Oh, praise God. You know, we condemn ourselves sometimes, even Holy Ghost filled, Jesus name Pentecostals, about our failures and our weaknesses and our shortcomings. And we back away from the will of God in our lives because we build a wall of separation, of guilt and shame. But God has shed His blood for us so that that wall can be torn down and we can enter into His presence and His complete will. Amen. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. I believe there are people here today who are hemmed in by problems or addictions or fears and doubts. Maybe by your own sin, but the Holy Spirit is here. It was poured out on all flesh. Jesus Christ is present. His Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost, He wants to fill you with His presence again, to set us free, to tear down the obstacles that separate us from His will. Praise God. Anybody want to be filled with His presence today? Anybody have an obstacle in your life that you want to overcome? But we can miss the moment. I've told this story before. I wasn't going to tell it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. One Saturday in the fall, back when my brother had season tickets to the Badger games, he would take me to a Badger game, you know, take each of us siblings, whoever wanted to, each one to a home game each year with his season tickets, great tickets. And this was during the time when a certain number 33 was running the ball for the Badgers, a guy named Ron Dane. If you ever went to the game, that's how they said it. So I called my brother and said, "Hey, big day today. They were playing Iowa. Best of all, they were playing Iowa." And it was a foregone conclusion that this was a day that he was going to break the NCAA record for rushing. Momentous day in the history of Wisconsin football. I know some of you don't really care one little bit, but the closer you got to Camp Randall, the bigger deal it was, okay? And he said, "Yeah, I'm not going today." I said, "What?" We were living in Anago at the time. I said, "You're not going today?" He said, "No, Gene doesn't want to go, and I couldn't find anyone to take the ticket." "You couldn't find anyone to take the ticket? I'll take the ticket." It was 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and I was in Anago, which is about, I can't remember, about 2 hours away from here, a little more than that. And I said, "I'll be there as soon as I can." And I threw my clothes on and, you know, changed my clothes, got ready to go to the game, had to put on some red and white, of course, and came down to the game and had to go to my brother's house first to get the tickets. And then you go down to the campus and try and find a place to park during a football Saturday. And I'm running around like crazy trying to get to the stadium. And I'm walking down Breeze Terrace, and I can the stadium is getting bigger and bigger as I approach it. And suddenly I hear this huge cheer go up. And I realized he just broke the record. I was that close. It's possible to miss the moment, even when the time is right. I don't want to miss the will of God because I'm doing something else, because something else is more important, because I'm focused on someone or something else, and God says now is the time. Just days before his crucifixion, Jesus stood over on the mount that overlooked the city of Jerusalem in Matthew 23, 37. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. How often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Listen to this, but you were not willing." It's all about our will. It's all about our will. Will I surrender my will to him or not? Will I give him my heart, my mind? I'll give him my heart. And what we're saying is my will. I'm surrendering my will. Thy kingdom come, the prayer said that Jesus gave us. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You were not willing, and now your house is left to you desolate. Paul was being kept in prison by the Romans after the Jews threatened his life after his last official missionary journey. He testified before the Roman authorities, the governors Felix and Festus, and now he's being held in prison. And King Agrippa is coming to visit. That's Herod Agrippa II, son of the Herod who was killed, who died, if we can say, in Acts 12. But he's still a person of note, and Paul is paraded before King Agrippa. And he testifies to him just like he testified to Felix and Festus. But he knows that Agrippa has an understanding of the Jewish prophets and teaching. He knows that Agrippa understands what the Old Testament says about the Messiah because he wasn't far from it. In Acts 26:26, Paul says, "For the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention since this was not done in a corner." Let's stand. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? Brother and sister, friend, guest, do you believe the prophets? Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Do you believe that God cares enough about us to give us a written record so that we can know his will? Do you believe the prophets? Paul said, "Agrippa, I know you believe. I know there's people here that believe the word of God. But then it's hard for us sometimes to submit our will to his call, to his purpose." And here's what Agrippa said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian. I almost got to see Ron Dain break the record. Almost." How many almosts do you have in your life? When you look back, the things that could have been. You've probably heard me say this before, but I know a lot of people who say, you know, I don't have any regrets. Well, I've got some regrets. Dumb things I did, opportunities I missed, times I didn't pray when I should have prayed, times I didn't witness when I should have witnessed to somebody. But I've got news for you. We serve a God of second chance. It's Pentecost Sunday. The time is right. The time has come. Whatever God's dealing with you, about. Whatever you want to make right with God, the time has come. This is your chance. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord at one place. And suddenly, maybe you've been struggling with something for a very long time. Maybe you've been carrying a load of guilt for longer than you can remember, but I'm here to tell you that suddenly the time has come, and my God can change everything in a moment. If you will come and surrender your will to Him. Praise God. We do this thing in a Pentecostal church where we give you an opportunity to come and pray. You can come down to the front and ask God. You can pray right where you are. That's perfectly fine. But I will encourage you to come here and pray up front, and someone can come alongside of you and pray with you for whatever your need is. But I want to encourage you, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, maybe you didn't think it was necessary. Maybe you almost received it one time. I remember the first time that when I realized I could receive the Holy Spirit, I lifted up my hands and I started, my whole body started trembling, and I didn't know what to do, and I got kind of nervous, and then about 8 people put their hands on me and I withdrew. So, but then I kept seeking God. He kept seeking me, really, is what I should say. And the day came when I finally began speaking in other tongues. It was so easy. I stopped myself because it was so easy. Praise God. God wants to fill you. God wants to renew you. God wants to anoint you. God wants to direct you, because the time has come. The time has come. Why don't you step out from where you are? Why don't you come and pray? If you have never repented from your sin, never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, never been baptized in Jesus' name, well, I want to encourage you to come right down here and pray, and someone will come alongside of you and help you have that experience. It's God's will for you. If you're struggling with something, and you know, it's not an admission that you're a terrible person. It's just that you're telling God, I need help in this. Come right down here. If you need healing, God is a healer. What better day to be healed by the power of God but the day of Pentecost? Amen. I'm asking God right now in Jesus' name to release faith for healing. In Jesus' name, Lord God, pour out your Spirit. Release your faith, oh God. Impute it to those that need it the most. By the power of the Holy Ghost, stir up the word of faith among your saints so that we can believe when we pray for others. This is the day of Pentecost, a day of remembrance, a day that we recognize that God changed the world, and maybe He wants to change some lives here today. Maybe it's your life. Why don't you come? The time has come. The time has come. The time has come. Hallelujah. God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able. Praise God. God is willing. God is willing. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of repentance. He's not willing that any should perish, but He's willing that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. If there's something you don't understand, He will reveal it. The time has come. The time has come. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. Pray for someone who has a need. God is able. you're a child of God and God's been prompting you to come and pray with someone and you're not sure if you should, I'm confirming that right now. Let God use you. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have an anointing. Let God use you to minister to someone else. God is able to do great things when we react in faith. There are some here who have the gift of faith. You may not even be aware of it. And God wants to reveal it to you right now. Let God use you.
Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. I've tried so hard to see it. Took me so long to believe it. If you choose someone like me to carry your victory, perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. You take the
do two things here. We're going to keep worshiping, but this Sister Kate is going on an AYC trip. Where is she? right here. Okay, so we want to gather around her and pray for her and anoint her. If some of the ministers can come and pray with her. She's going on an AYC trip. Where are you going? To Japan. Okay, so let's do that. Let's pray for Sister Kate, for God's anointing and protection. Amen. Pastor Phil. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of our young people and in the life of this young woman, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, you can do great things in her life. But we also know, God, that you can use her to do great things in the lives of others. So, God, let your anointing be upon her. Even as you send her forth, oh God, even as we release her into your will and your purpose, oh God, let your presence come upon her. Let this mantle of anointing rest upon her as she goes in your name, oh God, to minister to others. Keep her safe. Let your angels go before her and come behind her, we pray, Jesus. And let her heart and mind be guided by the Holy Spirit as she surrenders to your will and your purpose in this ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. And then, oh, where'd Sister Mashanda go? All right, we're going to pray for Sister Mashanda. She's moving to live with her sister, is that right? And she's moving away. This is her last service here as a resident. So gather around Sister Mashanda, please, and let's pray for her as she makes this big step in life in Jesus' name. Lord God, we know, oh God, this is a child of yours, Lord, and that you have given her your precious spirit and your name. She has done works in your name and been used of you to touch the lives of many. So, oh God, I pray, continue to use her in this way and keep your hand upon her. Connect her, oh God, with the body of Christ there. Connect her, O God, with hungry souls that she can be a conduit to eternity, O Lord, as you use her for your name's sake. Protect her, O God, as she travels and help her, God, to establish herself in your will, in your church, in her new dwelling. Let her be a blessing to her sister and to their family. Let her be used of you, O God, to share the word of God, and let the anointing of God flow through her life. Help her, Lord, in all of her preparation, even in these last moments. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. We claim these things on behalf of our dear sister. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord just a little longer. We are going to have a baptism. There's going to be a baptism. Praise God. The day of Pentecost is still here. One lady received the baptism of the Holy Ghost here at the altar. Two people are going to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I understand that there were a number of people filled with the Holy Ghost yesterday at the sectional Spanish rally here at Calvary Gospel Church. God is doing a great work. If you need the Holy Spirit, you can receive it still today before you leave this place. God is good.